Most of the people I've met use gut hooks.
But what I do use my phone for a lot on the trail is gut hook. You want to check gut hook?
I think oftentimes I seek comfort in looking at gut hooks.
I love gut hooks.
If you think the Donner Party wouldn't have used gut hooks app with GPS in 1846, then you're a few sandwiches short of a picnic.
Presented by The Trek. I am your host, Zach Badger Davis. This is episode number 13 of our Trail Correspondent series. In today's show, we touch upon a divisive topic, technology in the backcountry. After all, a thru-hike or any endeavor in the backcountry should be an opportunity to disconnect from our devices and instead to connect with our surroundings and fellow hikers, right? Perhaps there's some irony in this belief as we consume monologues and conversations recorded by hikers on their phones. Where do we draw a line? More specifically, our hikers tell us about their experience with technology on trail, how it's impacted their hike, and how they witness their fellow hikers' relationships with their devices. Ultimately, our correspondents share whether they think technology is good or bad for the trail community and its culture. So, without further delay, here it is. Enjoy.
Hey everyone, Floss here. I'm gonna give you some of my thoughts on technology here on the trail. I think first most obvious point is that I wouldn't be able to be making this recording unless I had this technology known as a smartphone to make the recording. So that has definitely been something that's useful. But I mean, in terms of being more honest about the whole thing, having the phone around has been, for me, great. I mean, you can probably tell from some of my past recordings that I might get a bit more homesick than others out here. So being able to connect with my parents, my girlfriend, my brother, my sister, all those sort of people, and being able to connect those things up along the way has been really great. Even though, as has been mentioned, I think once or twice, that the signal wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. I remember meeting with someone before I went out, and they'd done the AT before and said signal shouldn't be a problem. And I think their idea of signal shouldn't be a problem was different than mine. theirs was maybe you'll be able to get in every 3 days and that's fine. And it is. That is fine. And that's definitely something that I've got a lot better at, is getting used to, you know, not necessarily being in touch with someone every day, but that's sort of a product of our always connected society, you know, with all the different 50 different types of social media and being able to text someone and hear back from them within a couple seconds is definitely something that we're spoiled by. But yeah, I mean, in terms of other technology apart from smartphones, you know, I've seen some people with GoPros, and yeah, I mean, to each their own, that's fine. It's never something that really, I was tempted at the beginning to maybe invest in one of those and do some videos, but I think it's good that I haven't, because as I've gone along and kept hiking, you know, I've taken less and less photos and I'm more just sort of experiencing stuff out here and just being glad that I'm out here, not having to post it all to social media like immediately and make sure everyone sees what I'm doing. I'm just sort of out here and I'm having my own moments, and you know, I can describe those to people later, but you know, I just came off a view here in the Shenandoah, just had a look, and you know, I didn't even feel the need to take a picture. I think it's one of those ones that's just going to stick with me for a while. But yeah, I think that's about it in terms of technology. Oh, I guess maybe it would be nice to have one of those, I don't know what they're called, but where you can send your GPS coordinates to someone, those check-in things. There's been a couple times where I've, you know, told someone I was going to talk to them on the phone when I got into camp, and then there was no signal, and it would be nice just to, like, send something off to let them know that I was okay. But, oh, and here's another thing that has been somewhat of a bugbear of mine that I've run into a couple times. It's kind of pissed me off, if I'm honest. If you're out hiking in nature, please use headphones. There's been a few people who I've run into who you can hear maybe like half a mile away just blaring their music. It sort of ruins the vibe out here. And actually, yeah, I mean, I guess I may as well go into my music use and podcast use, you know. At first, and I know a couple other people are like this, well, maybe more than a couple, but they'd have hard set rules about, okay, I'm not allowed to listen to music unless I go this certain amount today, or, you know, I can't plug in my headphones unless I've passed this certain point for the day. And, you know, I was kind of like that going in. I was like, I'd rather, you know, listen to what's going on out here. But having been out here, you know, almost 2.5 months now, it does... Boring's the wrong word, because it isn't boring. It's really very interesting, and I'm loving all the noises and everything, and getting to see everything. But every once, you know, I don't know. I've been avidly keeping an eye on the World Cup. England lost yesterday, unfortunately, so... but it's all starting to wrap up. But, you know, I've listened to podcasts. That's how I've kept up, is listening to podcasts the day afterwards, doing, like, reviews of the game if I haven't been able to make it to town to watch them all. But, you know, I'll listen to like, hype-up music when I'm, like, nearing a town or something and I really need to get moving a lot faster. But, yeah, I was really quite rigid with myself before that, but I think being able to plug in the headphones and just, it kind of, like, it can stop some of the negative thoughts that I seem to get a bit more than some people. Just being able to, like, zone out and listen to music or listen to people talk about something interesting or listen to Backpacker Radio. Hey, crazy thought. Yeah, it's really quite useful. But, yeah, that's me. This is Jake checking out. Later.
Hey, Floss again. Just wanted to check back in with a few more thoughts on technology. I kind of rushed the end of that recording, and there were some things I didn't even think about. Like, for example, my reliance on the app Guthook, which is, I guess, one way of looking at the technology angle. Guthook has been great for me. I mean, like, it is awesome being able to know where everything is, where stuff off trail is, whether, well, just where things are, but also being able to look at the comments and see the more recent ones telling you whether a water source is dry or whether that view is really worth the 0.6 hike off trail. And it's all current, but, you know, it does sort of, there have been days where I've been looking at Guthook almost the whole time and barely been taking in what's going on around me. So yeah, that's it. Just wanted to add a little thing about Guthook. I think on the whole, if we talk about technology on the trail, I think it is to the benefit of the hiking community, but as some of the things that I've mentioned earlier on, obviously there are some drawbacks to it, because like the whole headphones thing. And I, you know, I don't want to be saying don't enjoy music when you're in camp. You know, that's fine. But when it's the middle of the day and you're hiking out in the middle of nowhere, and you can hear, you know, I saw the sign coming around the corner or something. It's not necessarily the best thing to be running into. But anyway, I'll stop being a crotchety old man about it. This is Floss checking out.
Hey, this is Sassafras reporting live from the trail. First off, I'd like to say I'm really deeply appreciative of technology on the trail because it allows me to do stuff like this. I do think it's kind of a double-edged sword, though. So things that I think that are awesome about technology on trail. I love gut hooks. Being able to have a sense of whether water sources are still running or not just based on checking my phone is pretty freaking awesome. It's also great for things like meeting up with people who are not through hikers while you're through hiking. So I've had friends meet me at road crossings at various points along the way. And it's really awesome to be able to give them, like the day before, give them three options as to which roads I'm going to be crossing and roughly when I think I'll be crossing them, and to kind of coordinate the day of to meet them. I think that's something that used to be so much more challenging that technology makes a whole lot easier right now. And that's pretty awesome. The fact that I, you know, have been able to pay my bills while I'm still out here is kind of awesome. At the same time, it's kind of cool that you aren't plugged in all the time, that there's, I think a part of the culture is that we expect that people aren't plugged in all the time. But there are definite downsides to technology out here. And I'm looking specifically at you, hiker, who sets an alarm while you're sleeping near other hikers and then snoozes it six times, because that's really freaking rude. Basically, I think technology on the trail is generally a positive thing, except when it impacts other people around you in a negative fashion. So whether that's you blaring an audiobook or music as you're hiking on speaker instead of on earbuds, or whether it's you setting an alarm that wakes up everybody who's camping around you because you don't get up the first time it goes off. Those to me are fairly negative impacts, but the fact that it allows us to, you know, keep better track of the resources that are available to us, to be able to make reservations at hostels on the fly, for example, or even hotels, to kind of figure out where options are in town if you're not carrying a guide that has a good town map in it. There are all kinds of ways that it's really useful. And at least for me, it's also really awesome to be able to record these little podcast messages and send them out and know that they'll go out into the world even while I'm still out here on trail. I think the hiking culture itself seems sort of divided on technology. I've seen a lot of hikers who kind of poo-poo folks who hike listening to music with like an earbud in or something. And maybe before I started trail, I might have even included myself in that because I'd never listened to music hiking before. But there are definite days where it's nice to be able to pump yourself up with something, or days that I really love being able to listen to an audiobook because my brain is like a hamster on a wheel that never stops running, and it's great to give it something that's not my aching body to focus on. So I've become a lot less judgmental about technology on trail, and I think a lot more appreciative of the technology that I do have. Also, I have to give a huge shout out to two pieces of technology that maybe people don't think about, but that I totally love. One of them is my Garmin watch, because I've been using it to track my hikes every single day, and I'm actually pretty stoked to go back over the data that it's recording. The other is my Kindle, which I brought thinking it would be a total luxury item, and given the fact that I have trail insomnia, it's actually awesome, because gives me something to do at the end of the day that's not intrusive to the people around me, that still keeps me kind of intellectually stimulated. And both of those are very small, very lightweight items, and I'm deeply appreciative of them. Would I be carrying a book if I didn't have a Kindle? Maybe. Probably, because I love to read, but it definitely saves me weight. And We have so few creature comforts out here that it is kind of nice to be able to have that little bit of home, even if it's just somebody texting you a picture that you don't get for 3 days, but that you do eventually get, like your nephew's birthday or something. I was actually chatting with another hiker who's kind of close to me in age and experience, and we got onto the topic of having those really rough days where you end up sobbing on the side of a trail. And for both of us, we ended up reaching out to somebody using our cell phones. She actually called her husband. I text people to talk me off that ledge. But I think it's easy for us to focus on the ways that technology seems to be infringing on a quote-unquote pure natural experience. But I think, I don't know if I would still be on trail if I didn't have a way to get those pep talks from people back home who know me really well and can say the right things and give me tough love when I'm, you know, sobbing on the side of a trail and have been sobbing on and off all day. Having that sense of support, having that network is huge. And I think, you know, deriding people who use technology on the trail kind of overlooks the fact that some of us are getting, you know, are getting things from it that are helping keep us out here. So I'm a huge fan of it, as long as it's you hiking your own hike and not waking me up at 5 a.m. because you don't know how to turn an alarm off.
Hi, what's up, you hooligans? It's your boy, IB Tat, coming at you live from the Appalachian Trail at the halfway marker, damn it. Made it halfway. Still got about 1,100 miles of trail left, but the body's holding up. We're feeling damn good. When you come up on markers like this, it just fucking puts a fire under your ass, man. But I would love to keep walking, but I had to stop here and post an Instagram photo, which is a good segue into today's topic, and that's technology on the trail. I am 100% guilty of using technology on the trail, as is probably 75% of all the thru hikers out here. It's an ongoing thing. It's hilarious. You get to a town, sitting out a convenience store, you'll see 10 hikers sitting there, and they're all on their cell phones. It's just the way things are. Things have changed, but I think it's for the better. A lot of people say, I guess I'm old school. I just journal in my tent every night, and that's good enough. Well, you know what? I'm going to talk about the good things about having technology on the trail. As somebody who vlogs every single day on this trail and posts on YouTube and posts on Instagram on a daily basis, there's a lot of positive things that come out of that, okay? For one thing, making these videos each and every day, all day, I'm going to be able to look back 20 years from now and see every day of my hike on this trail and reminisce about that shit. That's a lot of people can't do that. You can read words in a book, but to see visual of it, it's pretty damn amazing to take you exactly to that spot you were in at that time. And as far as Instagram goes, I'm a huge fan of photography. I'm out here with an iPhone. I'm not carrying a DSLR or anything like that. But you spend enough time in the woods each and every day, you notice cool shit all the time. Whether it's the light hitting the specific tree and you want to capture that moment, or the clouds in the sky, or whatever. I love taking pictures of nature. So I post on that every day. And a lot of people say, oh, doesn't that take away from your hike? Well, no, actually, it's the complete opposite. It enhances my hike by 10 because I notice shit on the trail all the time that a lot of people don't notice. I noticed a snail the size of a quarter the other day on the tree that people would just burn right by normally. So I'm always looking for stuff to photograph and video and enhancing my hike every single day. Another beneficial thing of doing this video thing day in and day out is YouTube has become a platform, and Instagram has become a platform to reach a lot of people in a positive way. When I came out here to do this, I was going to film it anyway. I was going to photograph it anyway, but I've had multiple messages on a daily basis almost of people say, hey, your story is amazing. I've been following you since Springer Mountain. I know you quit drinking and turned your life around, and now you're hiking to Maine, and I think that's just an amazing story. And I've had multiple people message me saying, because of your ass, I went to REI and bought a backpack, I quit drinking, and now I'm out hiking with my kids. I had a dude come up to me at trail days, almost in tears, early 20s, saying, dude, your videos have saved my life. I quit drinking and I'm turning my life around. It's shit like that that it's just mind-boggling to me. And I didn't expect any of that, but it's like I said, it's becoming a platform that I can reach a lot of people in a positive way. So whereas if I was just journaling every day, that's for my own thing. Maybe a few friends and family read it, but I can reach a whole lot of people out here that I didn't expect to when I first started. I know way back when I was planning this through hike, my main source of information was the Trex website and YouTube. You can read gear reviews for hours and days and look at YouTube videos for hours and days and read blogs, and that was a hell of a source of information for me. And I've said it before, you can only plan so much until you get out here. You don't know what it's going to be like, but it's a good way to get started. So check out YouTube, man. It's free. Look at the Trex website. Read everybody's blogs. You can take what you want, leave what you want. It's just a great source of information. So do I think technology is a great thing out here? Abso-fucking-lutely. There are days out here that I envy others that are just out here hiking, and you don't have to worry about posting to Instagram or things like that, or posting to YouTube. So I do envy those folks out here. That's going to be a hell of an experience in itself. But for myself, I think YouTube and Instagram and social media is a positive thing if you can make it a positive thing. It doesn't have to burden you in your hike. You can still, I still put in my 18 to 20 miles a day, except I stop and I enjoy it a little bit more and take in the sights, the sounds, and the smells and all that shit. So that's about it for me. I have got to get my happy ass about 3.5 miles down the trail and destroy a half gallon of ice cream. We'll holler at you mofos later down the trail, mine. Oh, P.S. to Zach, quit sending me those damn Candy Crush invites, man. I'm getting sick of that shit.
Hey, guys. This is Afternoon Delight, and I'm here with Steel Toe, who is still trying to look for a new trail name somehow. And we are in Connecticut, actually, at the moment. We took some time off, went to San Francisco, and then just when we were there, I had a family emergency, so we came back here, and we've been here for a week or so. So actually, when we get back on trail, we are going to be flipping and starting at the Canadian border and hiking Sobo. But here today, we're talking about technology. So, Steel Toe, what are your thoughts on that topic? Like, how has technology interfaced with your hike?
There's a lot of parts to that. I think the part I didn't expect is how easy it made parts of the hike. I mean, at the end of the day, you're still walking, you know, 15, 20, however many miles a day. But not having to worry as much about water or where you're going to camp, especially in the beginning in the desert, was something I was a little apprehensive about, and not having to be challenged by that wasn't something I expected.
Right. It kind of did take away the challenge a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like you became reassured but almost overconfident at times. And you kind of rely on other people and what they said about water sources or whatever it was. But it is a really great source. Specifically, like, we've been using GutHooks Half Mile a little bit, but mostly GutHook. And that app is just
amazing.
So valuable. Yeah. And what do you think about, so in terms of, you've been recording your journey as well. So have I. So how, do you like that, like having access to do that?
It's still new for me. As you know, I didn't start recording any of it really until I only had an Instagram for the trail. And then I didn't start a blog until someone, you know, recommended you'd like to read it maybe in the future.
Right.
So it's great. You know, I'm glad I'm doing it now. At times it feels, you know, like a lot to keep up with.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just want to, you know, enjoy the trail and
live in the moment.
Not worry about it. But you get into town and you have service and
yeah,
people want to see updates and
it's kind of nice to share with your family and friends what's going on so that you don't have to repeat the story a million times.
So technology is great for that.
Yes.
Like you said, keeping in touch with family and friends.
Yes.
And also being able to keep a record of it. It depends, I think, to what extent you use it. Mm-hmm. It can be good or bad.
Right. Yeah, because you could be, like, if we get service sometimes out there, you could be on your phone all day if you really wanted to be, which for me, at least, I feel like that defeats the point of being
one example. There. When we, right before we came into Tuolumne, there was the last pass that we went over. There happened to be service at the top.
Yes.
And no one was talking to each other, and everyone pulled out their phone for that.
Yep.
For those, you know, 5 minutes just to see what's going on. And it's moments like that that occasionally take away. But then as soon as you go back down over the pass, everyone's chatty again, and everyone's back to their normal selves. So there's a dichotomy there, you know.
Yeah.
It's good and it's bad.
Mm-hmm. And, like, to go in line with that, too, when you're staying in touch with the outside world, something good, though, is, like, logistics with resupplying if you're getting it from your family. We sometimes order gear ahead on the trail, and you think about when people didn't have this, like, the logistics, it makes it so much more difficult.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. There's been times that we've needed to take care of, you know, orders that didn't ship or that went to the wrong post office, and without our phones, without that connection, we wouldn't have been able to. I mean, we wouldn't even be here right now if you hadn't been able to get the call from your family.
Right.
So it's things like that. Those are obviously the better sides of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it allows us to do, you know, research on the spot. When we thought about going to San Francisco, we were thinking, okay, how do we get there?
Best breweries in San Francisco.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Where do you find the best breweries? Where do you find the best restaurants? So it's really nice sometimes when you're off the trail too. We even talked about, you know, finances, like just keeping your stuff at home all set with your bank, entertainment. Like, oh my God, we downloaded an episode of Mr. Robot to watch one night in the tent. And you're kind of like, okay, this is really bad, but it's like we don't do it all the time.
It's a break.
Yeah, we don't do it all the time, but people do it a lot, I'm sure. Audiobooks are great. Music is great sometimes when you need it. I think it's really up to the user, though, and how much they use it.
Yeah.
You know, what they want their experience to look like. So it seems like you're thinking that maybe there's an in-between, that there's some good parts to it, there's some bad parts.
And the bad parts aren't all bad. It's just in moderation, you know?
Right, yeah. And
I've gotten carried away. We all do. Yeah, we all absolutely do that, but it's just trying to, you know, focus on the hike and
definitely
enjoy it at times.
Yeah, I think so. I think overall it's good. I think we're just so used to our phones now as a resource for everything that it would be difficult to imagine not being able to utilize them out there somehow. Yeah.
I mean, you pull it out 30 times a day to take a photo or more.
I know,
you
know, camera.
Every day you're hiking.
I forgot about that, camera. A lot of people don't bring their cameras because they're too heavy, and the phone is, like, great as it is, and then you get to share them immediately. Yeah. So, yeah, both good and bad. I don't know. It's up to the user. It really is. So, but yeah, thanks for chatting with us today on this topic again, and, so it's Steel Toe and Afternoon Delight signing out. Catch you guys later.
Good morning, Backpacker Radio. This is Buns checking in. Hope everyone is doing well. I am just outside of the town of Belden. Got up and over that hill that people like to talk about. And it was all right. It wasn't the worst for sure. I would say the one before coming into Quincy is much harder. So no bores if you made it to Belden. It's a piece of cake. Don't worry about what people are saying. This past weekend I took a couple days off in San Francisco to surprise one of my buddies for his birthday, and then Also, the World Cup was the next day, which I got to watch with a bunch of my old college soccer buddies, which was great. it was a really good time. Good to see everyone. Definitely a little overwhelming. San Francisco is a pretty big city, and the party was in Golden Gate Park, and there was probably like 50 people there. So it was weird to be in that close of a vicinity to so many non-hikers, but definitely good overall. I'm really glad I went. And then huge shout out to my buddy Dak, who came out to Belden and picked me up and then drove me back out to Belden after a few days in SF, which is like 18, 19 hours of driving. So huge shout out to him. Thank you so much for that. But anyways, today's segment is basically about technology and how it affects things on trail, I think, for the most part. So personally, I think gut hooks and half mile and the PCT water report are like a really, really helpful set of tools that you can use on trail, and it makes everything very understandable and accessible and easy, and it really takes so much of the logistics out of the through hike. Like, it allows me to just kind of enjoy every day and plan as I go, not really think about long-term things, just because everything is there so quickly that it's at the kind of the tip of my fingers in terms of like retrieving information I need about upcoming things. However, I think in the future I would definitely like to explore more like topographical stuff, trying to figure out my own routes, using maps and compasses to kind of make my way. But I think, yeah, gut hooks and half mile are super cool because they make this trail very accessible to the people out here. Like, you don't have to really know a whole lot about navigation or really anything, and you still have all those tools to be successful out here, which I think is really cool. And it's kind of like a good confidence building trail along with the AT, just in terms of the resources available. And like, I feel now that I could do some lesser trafficked trails and be confident in my like navigation and other type of stuff, skills that I've learned from being out here, to be successful out there as well. I think music and podcasts and like audiobooks, I think that's totally fine. I use music and podcasts a fair amount during my hike, and I think music can even really enhance certain moments. Like, if you get the right song or genre for the right setting out here, I think it can really improve an experience. But I also think people are pretty quick to distract themselves from, you know, the suffering of going uphill or downhill or having a slow day and not just working through it. So I think it'd be cool if people gave themselves sometimes a little more time to be with themselves before they resorted to distracting themselves with music or whatnot. But I know there are also people out here that really do that, and some people, even in my age demographic, who just choose not to use like music or podcasts or audiobooks or anything really, which I think is pretty cool as well. So I think there are definite positives to having technology out here, but I think on the flip side, there have been a fair amount of my like negatives have come with interactions with technology or other people's interactions with technology, messing with my experience out here. When people are playing their music out loud over a speaker or something, I think that's pretty invasive of other people's space, just because this is all of our homes now, and we all share this space, and none of us own it. So by displaying your music or audio over a speaker, you're kind of claiming some of the space as your own, or altering someone else's experience. And I think that's too invasive and a bit rude. And one time I saw a guy like talking on his phone as he was walking up trail out of Bishop, and I was like, man, like, you are just in a town and now you're back in nature and now you're talking on the phone like right next to me, and I don't want to hear that. Anyways, I think phone calls should be restricted to not our off-trail places, unless it's like really an emergency or something. But you can always just shoot a quick text and be done with it, as opposed to being on your phone and being loud. And then one of my worst days on trail, or I guess it was before coming out on trail, but worst days since being on trail, was having to deal with my email one day. It was just on the fritz, and it was super, super frustrating. And like, I came out here to kind of be away, or at least have much less interactions with technology. So that was just something I didn't want to deal with during this experience. All in all, though, I feel like as long as you're paying attention to kind of hiker etiquette, and you're not like, your phone's not distracting you from the niceties of hiker culture, and you're not invading other people's space, I think it's pretty much okay to use whatever kind of tech you want. To each their own. We're all out here to learn different things, you know, so I think whatever you got to do, it's okay. But just make sure to not get plugged in too much. I think it's an easy routine to get into, and I've certainly fallen into that trap. But one of my rules I try to do is not be plugged in before lunchtime, and that seems to give me at least half a day each day of kind of just enjoying nature. But these buns were made for walking, so I will see y'all on the flip later. All right, so this is a day after I completed the podcast for technology, but I've been mulling it over a lot today, and I really haven't used technology a lot today, and I think that probably makes sense to think about the topics for a while before you talk about them or interview anyone on them. But anyways, I was just having a moment today where, like, my body just felt pretty weightless, and I just felt like I was in a good place, and I'm not sure if I'm on the PCT still. But anyways, I was down by a river today, and there's like a little nook, and I just felt like I took my clothes off, and I was naked, and I just sat there, and I felt like, man, this is how, yikes, this is how this is supposed to be, like, just with nothing else, enjoying nature in all of its like glory with no impediments. And I think technology definitely can hinder that at times. So there's for sure something to be said about days where you hike, you know, the whole day without even looking at gut hooks, and just kind of knowing that there's water, you'll get there when you get there. I think oftentimes I seek comfort in looking at gut hooks for like where water is gonna be, even though I know it's like can't be more than a mile or two away, and I know it's coming, and I know I gotta walk there anyways, so like there's really no point in looking. But yeah, I think technology can be a useful tool, but out here in nature there's just something to be said, or like unsaid, about just how beautiful and raw and scenic and just how right it is without all the crazy tendrils of technology and civilization and all that stuff like sticking in. I think it's kind of fun to just forget that you're a part of it all and just be at one with nature. But yeah, but then you can always, like, you know, plug in later or whatever. There's always a time later. But if you can find that beautiful moment of harmony with nature, I think that's a really nice sentiment and place to be. And having technology can really get in the way of that sometimes. Yeah, I think there's something to be said about returning to our most organic form ourselves and away from technology and all that stuff. So definitely try it. All right, later peeps, buns out. Also, I thought I was just listening to all this, kind of making sure it was good before I sent it in, and I thought it was hilarious that I had to go through that gate at that, like, really nice sentiment, and it was super creaky. But anyways, I'm having this beautiful kind of chat with my phone in this time, and get kicked in the face with a road like stone's throw away. Anyways, yeah, I'm also reading Monkey Wrench Gang right now, so that may be distorting some of my interactions with technology and society in general, and just being a cowboy out here. Yeah. Anyways, buns out for real now.
I am walking in Northern California on my way to Shasta. It's a little smoky today. The views are sort of, well, really hazy. I can kind of smell the smoke in the air, so gotta keep my eye on that. Sort of a bummer. But otherwise, it's super beautiful. I love being able to see Mount Shasta in the distance. So, technology on the trail. I mentioned in a previous episode that I don't listen to anything in the mornings. I do tend to listen to music and podcasts pretty much all afternoon. Well, depending on the day and who I'm hiking with, but most days I'll listen to it pretty much all afternoon. But what I do use my phone for a lot on the trail is GutHook, which is pretty much how all PCT hikers navigate the trail, at least most of us. It makes life really easy logistically. We use it to check our mileage, to find campsites, to find water, to figure out when the next water is. You can also look at the elevation profile, which is a blessing and a curse. I didn't even think to look at the elevation profile for pretty much the entire desert section. And I think there's a real benefit to that. Just accepting what's ahead of you. Taking the trail for what it is, because you're going to have to do it anyway. And since the Sierra, I have been looking at the elevation profile on GutHook really religiously, and I wish that I didn't. Sometimes it's handy to know, like, especially in Northern California, like, oh, there's a huge climb and there's no water. I might need to bring extra water just because the climb will be exhausting. But sometimes, I mean, I'm just staring at the map, looking at my dot, waiting for the climb to be over. That's only when I'm really desperate. But yeah, everybody out here seems to use GutHook. Other than that, I mean, I don't think people spend too much time with technology on the trail. We've had service more often in Northern California, so it's less of a luxury. It's kind of funny, toward the end of the Sierra when we started getting service again. Anytime there was like a little pocket of service, you'd see groups of hikers just sitting there on their phone. And now that's not so common. I don't think people spend a whole lot of time texting or on the phone, because there just doesn't seem to be time for that. We're all ramping up our mileage now, so I know some people will like post Instagrams from the trail. I don't know how they do it. At the end of the day, I'm just so tired. Instagram's like the last thing on my mind. But I don't think people are using technology really other than smartphones. I met one guy who has a laptop in his bounce box to do work in towns. But yeah, other than that, seems like pretty much just smartphones on the trail, mostly for navigation, occasionally communicating with each other, but it's really not likely that you and the person that you're trying to communicate with will have service, so I don't think people even really do that too much. So I think it does allow hikers on the trail to have like distraction-free, authentic conversations, relationships. And that's pretty cool and maybe rare now. You'll definitely see hikers using their phones in towns a lot, getting caught up with friends and family and on social media. But you know, that's not all that often. And even using our phones for navigation on Guthook or Half Mile or whatever, it's not like you're spending time with your face in your phone. It's usually just a quick look, quick update. I'm sure some would make the argument that we use Guthook too much. We should be using, you know, old school navigation skills, or I don't know. I definitely have respect for people who do the trail before Guthook and similar apps, but I feel like if we have it, we should use it. I mean, it definitely adds a degree of safety to our hikes and definitely comfort. So I'm a fan. I don't think it takes away too much from the overall experience of the hike. So that's my thoughts on tech on the trail. See ya.
What's up, everyone? This is Miles to Go, checking in again from the PCT. I'm at mile 1,495 at Fall Creek, and we're on the way down into Dunsmuir today. Been looking at the big and beautiful Mount Shasta for the last week or so hiking, which has been pretty amazing, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger as we approach, which is a nice view to have when you're in a green tunnel most of the time. But when you get those views of Mount Shasta, it's pretty amazing. So today I just want to talk a little bit about technology. And let me first just point out the obvious that I am on the trail and I am recording this on my iPhone 8 Plus with a microphone as well. So technology is definitely present out here. And I just want to touch on a few key things in regards to technology on the trail. First and foremost, I know there are some old school folks who begrudge technology and say, well, you know, back in my day we hiked with, you know, 80 pound packs and compass and maps and all this stuff. And I guess I would just say to that, if you think the Donner Party wouldn't have used Guthook's app with GPS in 1846, then you're a few sandwiches short of a picnic. They definitely would have, and it makes life a lot easier. I used the GPS app when I was trying to navigate through snow in the dark multiple times in the high passes in the High Sierra, and it came in real handy. So Guthook's app makes life so much easier. On the AT, we used AWOL's guidebook, which did the job, and it was fine, and we didn't get lost or anything, and it gave us all the information that we needed. The only thing I lament about not having a book is that, and this is sort of like Yogi's book too, is that there is so much more information about the land and the wildlife and just the flora and fauna and the history of the area that you don't get in the app. And this is something that Donna Softly at Hiker Heaven mentioned, and I agree with her that that is disappointing now that hikers don't really know as much about the trail that they're hiking and the area that they're in and the nature that they're hiking around. And it's just all mile marks and decimal points and waypoints. And that's kind of depressing because you should be out here connecting in a more deep and profound way. And the app, I think, sort of takes away from some of that. Now, the other thing I'll say in regards to technology is music. There are some people who really don't like listening to music out here and some people who listen to it all the time. I'm of the 90 odd days that we've been out here, I've listened to music maybe 12 of them, maybe not even that. And I made a promise to myself to make it all the way through the Sierra section, so from Tehachapi to South Lake Tahoe, without listening to music on the trail. And I did that. And I wanted to do that to be really connected with my surroundings. And that was a great experience, and I'm glad I did it. But then there are other days. More recently in Northern California and then in the desert, where music really sort of saved me and got me through the day. So I can see both sides of that argument. And I guess I will also say that music out here while hiking has moved me to tears, in a good way. It just adds this sort of spiritual element to it. An all-encompassing synergy that isn't really present when you're maybe just hiking and hearing the sounds of the trail, which is also good, but there's like a next level that you can connect with, I think, with music, which adds an element that's really beautiful. What I will say about music, though, is, and this is a huge pet peeve of mine, is the people who just play the music through the speakers on their phone. I didn't come out to the wilderness to listen to your cheesy Michael Bublé ballads, okay? And that happened to us when we were hiking in the Sierra. Someone passed us with Michael Bublé playing, and that was super annoying. So, and that's happened multiple times, people playing their music kind of loud, and it just takes away from the experience. So please use your headphones. I will add one caveat to that. If you're hiking the aqueduct or hiking through a wind farm, I totally get if you want to play your music, because there's really not anything that's like nature about that experience. Or if you're doing a road walk and that kind of sucks, I could see that too. But please be respectful of people and nature and don't play your music through the speakers. It's just one of my pet peeves. And finally, the last thing that I want to touch upon with technology is social media. It is quite noticeable when there is an area with service on the trail that people will stop hiking, and I'm one of them, will be the first to admit, and immediately check social media, and you easily spend just 5 minutes there looking at your phone when there's all this beauty around you. And that's like the life that we left and to unplug from, and to just go right back to it on the trail is really disappointing. But that just lets you know the pull of technology and the addictive nature of social media. But I also get that you want to be connected to your friends and family too. So, you know, I see, again, both sides of that argument. But if you're camping at a spot with technology, I mean with the cell phone service rather, and especially LTE and internet, people won't socialize. They're all just on their phones and they're not talking, versus if you're in an area with no service, it forces people to socialize and to talk and get to know each other and enjoy camp in a different way. So I also lament when we do have service, how connected people are with their phones. On the AT, I didn't use social media at all. And I felt like that was more cleansing, unplugging experience for me than this experience has been, because I have been using Instagram and doing Instagram posts every night, even if it's just in my tent when it's dark for, you know, 15 or 20 minutes. It's still like I'm still looking at my phone, and with GutHook's app, I'm still looking at the phone all the time, checking mileage, checking time. So that's sort of disappointing. I'd like to, in the future, maybe find a way to not use the phone as much, but still trying to figure out how when you have the app and it's so helpful. So we'll see. So I don't want to ramble on too much. Those are my thoughts on technology. And if there's one positive technology and social media, I hope it's that people have been inspired to thru-hike and to get outside and to hike more, even if it's not a thru-hike, to just get outside and enjoy nature, that there are so many benefits of it. But also understand that what you see on social media from thru-hikers is not the real thru-hiking. Your feet bleed, your feet are swollen, you have bug bites all over the place, you're sweaty, you're stinky, you're filthy, dirty. So it's not all roses and sunshine out here. So just know that if you're seeing the beautiful stuff, but it's all worth it. So that's all for now. So signing out with 1,157 miles to go.
Guys, it's Tunes checking in, and I'm sitting on the back porch of a friend of a friend here in South Lake Tahoe. I got super lucky that I knew someone who used to live here and was able to hook me up with a place to stay in South Lake instead of having to pay astronomical amounts of money to stay in a motel, which for most people, a night in a motel wouldn't sound astronomically expensive, but for me right now it is. So here I am, and I'm so, so thankful to be here. I have been kind of booking it down the trail, trying to catch up with my people after taking a week off in Yosemite Valley. So anyway, here I am hanging out, having a good time, and I'm going to talk once again just by myself. I seem to be like between bubbles of people right now, which is strange because usually even when I take some time off the trail, I can hop back on and kind of like find a group of people. And there's usually tons of other northbound PCT hikers all around me. But I'm in kind of a weird place right now where like I haven't been seeing very many people. So I just honestly haven't had the chance to interview anyone, which bummer, because I'm tired of just hearing myself talk. You're tired of hearing just me talk. But I do have some thoughts on this subject of technology on the trail, and that's what we're talking about this week. So I guess I'll just talk about kind of like my relationship with technology on the trail. And it's changed a lot from the beginning of my hike to now. But the components remain the same. So I have an iPhone on the trail. I have a battery pack to charge my iPhone with on the trail. And I don't carry an extra digital camera with me. I actually have disposable cameras that I use, so very analog in that aspect. But my phone is really the only piece of technology that I have. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I mean, I have my like beacon device, but that's just emergencies. Like I would use that one time, you know? So yeah, it's really just my iPhone. But one thing that I think is really good about technology on the trail is that, you know, having this one piece of technology, an iPhone or any smartphone, enables you to do so many things. Like if you really wanted to be pretty ultralight, like you could cut out several other pieces of gear by just using your phone, like camera, maps, like two-way communication device. I mean, if you want to communicate in like the backwoods, then your phone won't work. But like, you know, you don't need a satellite phone if you can check in with people on your actual phone every like 5 to 7 days. So that's a really good thing. Like, you can use your smartphone for so many different things. And then obviously there's the unnecessary things, right? The things that you don't actually need to survive or like have a quality backpacking trip, but that are useful to us because we have them. Like, it's super awesome that I just have this device in my pack that will play hundreds of songs. Like, I can just listen to music on the trail, you know. Like, I wonder if John Muir had a tape deck, like, would he have listened to music while he was sauntering around? I don't know. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't have, but we have it, and I really like that. It's nice to have music on the trail. And I don't know, lately I've been listening to music a lot more than I used to while actually hiking, but even just for like when you're relaxing in your tent at the end of the night or something, it's just nice to listen to a song, and I don't know, it makes me feel comforted. So, you know, you got music, you got playlists, audiobooks, whatever. I'm trying to think of anything else I really use my phone for on the trail. I mean, a lot of people rely solely on their phones for navigation, and so this is where I'm going to get into the negative of technology. This is basically like my main pet peeve on the entire trail. So the good of technology, it gives you, you know, one device can do so many things, and if you use it responsibly and don't just sit on your phone all the time, then I think it's great. It's a great tool. However, a lot of people, myself included sometimes, and I try to catch myself, but a lot of people do just sit on their phone all the time. And to me, like, I mean, I came out here for a multitude of different reasons, but one of the things that made me excited was the prospect of getting off my phone. And this is something I think a lot about in my normal daily life as well, is just how much time we spend not intentionally, like how much time we spend on our devices without like having a specific intention. You know, you pick up your phone just to check it. Like, what are you checking for? I mean, you know, how many times a day do you pick up your phone just look, just to like open an app and like scroll through it? It's totally compulsive. So I think a lot about that in my day-to-day life. And then coming out here, I was really excited for the chance to kind of like detox myself from all of that like compulsive checking. But then because my iPhone is such a like nice tool and an important component of my hike for, you know, podcasts and checking what mile I'm at if I don't want to look at my paper maps, or, I mean, it's just like a lazy hiker's best friend / ADD entertainment provider. But I've noticed that because I use it so frequently for legitimate reasons, I then tend to use it for not legitimate reasons. Like, I'll just look at my phone and like want to check something just because it's there, you know. Like, our phones are just totally addictive. So I don't know, I feel as though having the phone is good, but having the phone is also a temptation that I kind of wish I didn't have, because obviously you don't need it. Like, people have been exploring in the woods without devices forever, and now we have them, and we can download stuff. We can download movies if we want to, you know. Like, you could be watching a TV show in your tent every night if you wanted to. So I don't know. It's like, do you go outside so that you can consume more digital media? Or do you go outside so that you can open your eyes to like what is physically around you? And the phone, is interesting in that it can be a barrier and it can also be an enhancement to enjoying and being truly present in like the surroundings of a thru hike. And then what I was going to say earlier, that is my biggest pet peeve, is like everyone, I don't want to say everyone, but most of the people I've met use gut hooks, and gut hooks is this like this app that has so much information. It's your map and your navigation, but it also has like comments and like different information about all the waypoints that you're going past, you know, towns, water sources, campsites. And I don't use gut hooks unless there's like a closure on the trail that I need to find an alternate for, and that's not on my maps, which I carry actual paper maps. So I only use gut hooks if it's like a plan C type thing. But I would say the majority of people use gut hooks all the time, and it leads to this like obsession with where you're going next. And because people can like see all these tent sites that are on the app, and if there's something cool coming up, like a cave or something. So it gets to the point where instead of like looking at maps and exploring, not really knowing where you're going to end up each night, which is kind of how I approach the hike, most people get in this mindset of like, oh, gotta go like 19.5 more miles to the next tent site, which like in reality, there's tent sites everywhere. You know, it's, I don't know if I'm making any sense because I get really into this topic, but basically I think that like the technology and having everyone on the same like app and making it so easy to share information kind of takes away like the individuality of your hike if you rely solely on that. So I don't know, that's kind of my two cents. I hope in the future I get to talk to somebody else about this topic for the show, because I think that I'm actually pretty radical in terms of this issue on the trail. Like, I think most people weave technology into their hike without a problem, don't feel like it hinders them. And that's awesome for them. Like, I feel like I kind of struggle with it. So hopefully I can get someone else's take on it and share that with you guys. But for now, that's it from me. So, yeah, have fun.
Hey, it's Rabbit. This is my technology update, and I had a feeling that maybe my opinion might be an unpopular one, but to be honest, I think the technology that we have now for hiking and that I can use on trail is amazing. I am unbelievably grateful and happy that I can have one device, a smartphone, that can allow me to record this podcast while hiking, that also allows me to take, you know, pictures. I am no photographer, and so I rely on my phone to help me, and it's awesome that I don't have to carry a separate camera, since I am not a very great photographer. I just take them for me and for fun. And then I can also use this same device to navigate and get myself where I need to go on trail. I carry paper maps as a backup on the CDT, but I didn't really have to on the AT or PCT. And then this phone also allows me, whenever I go into town, to get onto some Wi-Fi and download more, you know, some podcasts to listen to and audiobooks. I feel like my book knowledge has like swelled. Like, I've suddenly gotten to listen to so many books because I have a, you know, audiobook subscription, and I download them all the time, and I'm completely addicted to listening to them, because often in camp, whenever I was bringing paperbacks, I was just so exhausted that I really was reading maybe, you know, 10 pages a night if I was lucky, if I was reading at all, which often I wouldn't read any. And this way I can now listen and absorb this information and feel really happy about that. And so for me, this phone is just, it does so many amazing things. And there's also, you know, the GutHook app, which I think has, you know, gained a lot of popularity. And I know very few people on the CDT that don't use it. And more so than just the navigation, what also I really like about it is the crowdsourced information. So whenever you click on a water source or you click on a waypoint, if something you know, is denoted as a reliable water source, you can actually look at the comments and see if it is, and scroll back even for years and be like, you know what, this has been running for 3 years, so I'm pretty sure this water is going to be there when I get there. And if you look at it and say, oh, you know, it's been dry a lot in the past years, and you're like, you know what, it might not be there, maybe I should pick up some extra water at a different source. And that crowdsourcing information is often just so valuable. And I found myself, especially on this trail, updating it, because often there's like missing information or things that aren't quite up to date, and there's just less people out here. So I've made myself part of that by updating and trying to provide help through technology to other hikers behind me on trail and for future use. And then I feel like there's this whole other segment that's not smartphones, that are spot devices and DeLoreums and all of the safety like devices. I didn't carry one on the AT. I started carrying one on the PCT, and I have the same. I carry a spot device. I carry it on the CDT. And especially last year, and a very dangerous year on the PCT, it was something that helped me and, you know, my family feel just safer, knowing that I had this in the event that I needed it. I know they are not 100% perfect by any means, but it is just one more safety backup. And out here, I won't have service sometimes in towns. I mean, I've gone for long, long stints without service or Wi-Fi or strong enough Wi-Fi to even get a text message off. So having my little spot device where I can just click I'm okay and my family sees a little pin pop up and they get a text message that says I'm fine, you know, nobody's calling search parties and there's no, you know, fear or worry, and it really kind of puts that to rest. And without, you know, some of our modern technologies, that wouldn't be possible, and people would possibly die out here that, you know, had some sort of device that was able to help them get saved. Or a lot of time and energy was spent maybe looking for someone who wasn't missing because, you know, they made the choice not to carry something like this, which is totally fine. I have also not carried devices like this before. It's just, you know, it's a personal choice and preference. So I think that technology for a safety standard has really improved and can be really amazing, and I'm happy to have it and I'm happy to carry it. And then I think the final piece of all of this is social media. It has become, you know, very prevalent in the trail community, and I update an Instagram that I use publicly. It's Rabbit Hikes for anybody that wants to know. And I try to update a picture a day. So I use my smartphone and I take a picture. And then when I get to a town, I, you know, post for the last section that I was in. Or sometimes I'll wait a town or two and then update several sections. And I, you know, just put in those pictures that I've taken, and it's a way for me to catalog and log and have a memory of everything I've done and then be able to share it with friends and family and really anyone who wants to see it. And I really enjoy that. I also like that on Instagram, there's often not negativity that can now be found on Facebook. I keep my Facebook to just very close friends and family and do not open it up publicly, which I think a lot of people do as well. I am on the trail pages for the years that I hiked, like the CDT 2018 page, and I use it for getting information on fire closures or things like that. It's a really great way to like pop in and get some quick information. If people post negative or fear-mongering things, I usually just kind of dismiss those and move on and try to not let them affect me. The same way with negative talk or hate speech or just generally bad behavior on social media. I block those people or I just, you know, ignore it and move on. And because I feel like you do get to make a choice of, you know, what you see and what you put in front of you. And that definitely has come onto the trail and is part of the trail community now. And so I just try to manage it and make it a positive experience for me. And hopefully if anybody who feels like following me and watching my hike kind of feels that about my posts, that things that I post, I try to stay on the positive side. So that way people can see the good parts of this hike. I do share challenges for sure, but I try not to say anything negative about others or about, you know, broad general topics. I would keep those to, you know, a personal conversation. If you want to reach out to me and find out my very specific opinions on things, go right ahead. But, you know, I might not share that generally. I'm just going to keep things on the positive side. And I think that's how technology on the trail can be really useful and really positive. There, of course, are negative sides. And, you know, if you don't like smartphones and you don't like technology, then I'm not quite sure how you're listening to this podcast. But if you still are, if you found a way to listen to this maybe on your PC somehow, then I applaud you. You are a rad person. And if you want to go out on a hike and use nothing but paper maps and carry no backups or anything else, that is your right. And have an awesome time. And if you want to go out and you want to use your smartphone and you want to check GutHook and you want to, you know, have all the apps and the downloads and the maps and all the things on your phone and all this stuff, and you want to carry a DeLorean and text your boyfriend every day, then you go ahead. Make yourself happy and enjoy your hike and just, you know, get out here. It's totally worth it to just be out on trail and use technology in the best way that it suits you, because it can do some really amazing things. All right, well, that's Rabbit signing off.
And that's it for episode number 13. In the next episode, our correspondents discuss how the grouping tendencies evolve over the course of their hikes. If you want to support the show, you can do so through our Patreon page at patreon.com/backpackerradio. As little as $1 per month gets you access to bonus content, including our recent drunk dialing episode where Chaunce and Badger overserved themselves and then called you guys. You can also leave us a review on iTunes and or subscribe to us on iTunes. You can follow us on social at Backpacker Radio on Instagram, at Backpacker Pod on Twitter, and Facebook.com/Backpacker Radio. You can follow me personally at ZR Davis on Instagram and Twitter. Today's show was edited by Pauly Boy Shallcross, who runs Old Man Murph's Coffee Roasters. If you're looking for some quality beans to jumpstart your day, get a bag of their delicious coffee at oldmanmurphs.coffee. Okay, that's all she wrote. Thanks for tuning in, and happy hiking.
Turn up! Let's go!